with God's will for the world. They woke up. And what better way to undermine a system that relies on death is that if you kill one, 12 more rise up. And if you kill those 12, 144. What better way to challenge a system that uses death as its tool to make death a means by which people are empowered? And so they became the Christ. And they got arrested and they got killed, and the movement grew. And grew and grew in the face of harsh and brutal opposition by an empire that knew how to do harsh and brutal like no one else. And the movement only stopped when the empire changed its tactics and joined. When the Jesus movement became the Christian religion, and the Christian religion became officially accepted by the Roman Empire, not only accepted, but supported. And the empire stopped persecuting Christians and built places for them to worship, stopped persecuting Christians and started paying their leaders, stopped persecuting Christians and gave them positions of authority inside the empire, to where becoming a Christian then was a way to get ahead. And when you take Christianity, which was always meant to rise from the needs of those on the bottom, and put it in the hands of those in the top, it transforms it into something that it was never meant to be. And Christians became like those leaders of the temple that Jesus spoke out against. Throughout the ages, there have been those that have awakened to the message of Jesus and started movements in opposition to the dominant form of Christianity as a tool of the empire. The monastic movement, some of the Protestant forms, here and there, everywhere, the Spirit breaks out and people catch fire on that idea of a movement to transform the world through a different kind of power and a different way of living. And that's what we celebrate today. That fire is still there. That call is still there. We live in a world where that call is desperately needed. We saw that a little bit in the past couple weeks. The struggle to get enough money to end homelessness is going to be an ongoing struggle. The tax raising $75 million from the wealthiest corporations in our city met with strong opposition. Amazon stopped working on one of its buildings as a threat to the city to say, if you pass this law, we may take our corporation elsewhere. And people who were working on that building were frightened of losing their jobs and came in and protested against the tax. But at its height, the tax would have cost Amazon about $20 million a year. And from what I can read, last year Jeff Bezos himself, founder of Amazon, himself made several times that each and every day last year. For 2% of the wealth that Jeff has, now we could end homelessness in Seattle and King County. Three people in this country now own more wealth than the bottom 50%. Three people, 160 million people. And the world is tilting ever towards the three and not the 160. As I read it, last year Amazon paid no federal taxes. All the state and local taxes that they paid amounted to 0.1% of their revenues. And yet that 20 million, that little bit of money, caused them to threaten the city. We're going to need billions to end homelessness in Seattle. It's pretty clear that the only way to end homelessness is to provide affordable housing for people. And that doesn't just happen out of the market. The hidden hand of capitalism, if it worked, would have provided housing for people who have little or no money. But it isn't. And this very wealthy city is seeing increasing numbers of homeless people. The world needs a new idea, and it's going in the wrong direction. We need to figure out a way in which we build an economy that's based on the idea that everybody has enough, and not that some people have so much more than they need that they'll never be able to figure out how to spend it all. The world needs a new idea. And fortunately, we have one. It's burning all the time in us. It's a wind blowing all around us, ready to catch us up. Now, movements don't just pop up out of nothing. I think the Poor People's Campaign is doing an experiment to try to see if they can ignite a movement. And I'm not sure that it's going to work, but I give them credit for trying. Movements come when they come, but they don't come unless people are there, ready, and prepared, unless people have a vision of an alternative. People can get very frustrated with the way things are, but will have no idea where to go unless there's a vision. And we've been given that. A world built on love, on compassion, on sharing. That as the power to build a world on. And that is the power we celebrate today. The world can change in an instant. All the power that people think they have is really nothing at all. Jeff Bezos, for his $100+ billion, is really just a holder of a bunch of zeros in a computer someplace. Real power is the power of sunlight hitting fertile soil. Real power is the power of human creativity. Real power is the power that people have when they say they will commit themselves to a vision. That power is there to transform the world. A wick waiting for a spark. The call to us as people of faith is the same as it was to that group hiding away in that room. To throw open the doors. To do what Jesus did. To share and live a vision of transformation. And become God's good news to the world. Amen.